Hey, it's Chaz and AJ.
Hello.
Thank you for listening to our podcast.
Thank you.
We hope you enjoy it. And please subscribe, comment, share, do all those things that make us look good.
And be nice.
Thank you. Ah, I love when someone is a dick. They're trying to get it on film. Right. So the internet says, yeah,
I'm with you.
Wrong.
Right. You're so right and they're so wrong.
Ah, and this one backfired on him.
Yeah, bloop in the face.
So a guy was parked in like a handicap spot.
Yep.
And didn't have a handicap thingy.
Right. They have a badge over there.
A badge. It's not a thing that hangs off the mirror. It's called a badge. And this woman called him out on it. She taps on the window with her cane.
Right.
But it has a rubber end on it.
Right. Yeah. The end of it.
Yeah.
Wrong window. You just hit my window.
Well, of course I've hit your window. I was trying to get your attention.
Yeah, but
you don't have a doorbell on the car.
Okay.
So I just politely tapped on your window.
Okay. Now,
great start.
Love her.
Right. Great start.
Right now, you know you're done. Right now, I'm like, okay, I'm going to move.
And so this is the doorbell.
And she's so eloquent when she says it. I love it.
Your car doesn't have a doorbell.
It's not a doorbell. It doesn't.
So I knocked on the window.
It's like a Monty Python sketch. Hey! And you don't have a doorbell.
Right now, you know you're outwitted.
Yep.
You're outmatched.
Yeah, just move the car.
Just move the friggin' car. But no, he doesn't.
Just move the car.
Now, the thing is this. There's only one disabled bay left, and you're parked in it. You do not have a badge. I do.
Okay, but...
So here
should be the end of it right there.
Right. Yeah.
Like, that's it. That's where it should be over.
You're an old lady. I'm a young guy.
I'm sorry. I'll move the car.
No problem at all, ma'am.
Yes.
Boom.
Exactly. My bad.
Okay, but...
So here it is. A disabled badge.
Okay, but you can park over there. You park over there.
Yeah, I can park over there. I can park over there. And I would have to pay to park over there.
Okay.
But I've got a disabled badge which entitles me to park here for free.
Okay, but you've not asked if I've got a disabled badge or not, have you?
You haven't got one.
Well, no.
Well, kindly display it, or I shall go into the shop and have you removed.
Nice. Do you
have a disabled badge? Do you?
No, I do not.
You're an idiot. You should have just left. And you're filming this, you
Well,
moron.
You didn't ask me if I had one. What did he think she was going to say? Oh, yeah, you know what? You're right. I'm going to go away now.
Right. Yeah, I'm going to... Me and my cane start walking. She's got a cane, you moron.
I can't stand this guy.
Yeah.
No.
I can't stand this guy.
You should have hit him with a cane.
Well, and he's looking for... That moment where I capture people doing bad. I'm out here making the world a better place by videotaping
them. I'm a victim.
Even the beginning where he's just like, you're hitting my window.
Right.
It's like, oh, shut up.
Yeah, you're an a-hole.
He was recording then, right. So that tells me she was trying to wave to him from the car. He saw this and was like, nope.
Yeah, and she had to
made her
vehicle.
Walk over.
Yeah.
And when she was coming over, he's like, I'm going to record this whole thing and I'm going to win.
Yep.
Loser.
You turd.
Didn't work out for
him. Loser.
They do call things so much cooler there. Like, Disabled Bay is so much better than parking spot.
I should have you removed!
I wouldn't swim in the Disabled Bay, but I definitely like that name as a place.
Your car doesn't have
the
a doorbell, so I knocked on the window.
You don't have a badge.
Do you?
No, I do not.
Right, well then, bloody well get out of this place and let me
you
park.
Don't know. I might have a hidden disability. You don't know that, do you?
I think you do have a hidden disability.
And what's that?
You're stupid.
Yes.
I love her.
Set up and payoff. Nice.
That's the body shot right there.
Yes, it is, man.
And here's the third time during this exchange, you should just say,
I'm losing this fight.
How many L's do you need to take in a row?
Yeah,
I'm not going to win.
I'm losing this fight. I'm deleting this video. I'm getting out of
here. It's three strikes.
Yeah.
It's checkmate.
Yeah.
You're done.
And you think I'm stupid. And anybody who thinks I'm stupid has got a definite disability. Now, I am entitled to park here. You are not. Go over there and pay your £1. It's only £1.
Okay, but you can ask me nicely, can't you?
Nicely. You're such an idiot.
No.
He doesn't have to ask. You're doing something illegal. You shouldn't have to ask nice to stop being illegal.
Yeah, move your car, you loser.
No, here's the thing. If I'm the old lady, I'm holding the cane.
Right.
He says that. It's in his eyeball.
Yeah. Yeah.
The end of that cane, a boom.
Right in the epiglottis.
And she doesn't even lose her composure.
No, she's cool.
You don't have to come and attack me and hit my window and stuff.
Oh, attack you and hit your window. I didn't hit your window. I just tapped on your window to take your attention away from...
You hit my window with your stick.
You tapped me.
Tapped it just like that.
See what you just.
And by the way, it's a cane because I'm disabled.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, I used to stand up.
You're attacking me right now.
I'm not attacking you.
Listen,
I just
tapped there. You can part there. You know, I don't hear my stick. I don't hear my stick. You're a crazy old woman.
I am not a crazy old woman. You are an arrogant young man, and you deserve a good smack. Now go and park your car and pay the £1. It's only £1.
Okay, yeah, but you can ask me nicely, like I said.
Oh, why should I attach you nicely?
Because it's manners.
It's manners.
I've got a baby in the car.
Oh, right? Don't you?
He's the authority on manners now.
Right. Yeah.
Parked illegally. Manners.
And now he's pulling the baby car.
Recording this old lady for no reason.
Won't move.
Tried
to insult her several times. Right. Backfired on.
Yep.
What a slime.
Now he's hiding behind the baby. I have a baby.
The baby car's being pulled out.
Because in his mind, he was the hero in this video, the way he was going to say things. It's backfiring. What do I do? I'm a father. Like, whatever he can do.
I have a baby.
It's manners.
I've got a baby in the car.
Oh, don't use the baby as an excuse.
I'm not using the baby.
That's the first time she got really mad.
Yeah.
That's when she got really mad.
Yep.
Oh, don't use the baby as an excuse.
I'm not using the baby.
Don't you dare use the baby as an excuse.
I'm putting a baby.
That's a sweet little child there. You're using her as an excuse.
I'm not using an excuse. I'm telling
you. No, for goodness sake, just get out of the disabled bay so I can park and do my shopping.
But why can't you park there or there?
Because I would have to pay to park there or there.
How many times does he have to hear this to figure out why she wouldn't park anywhere else?
This has to walk a distance.
You're in a spot you don't have a right to.
It's troll mentality. Like, this is what because he doesn't have to move.
He doesn't have a good out right now. He's looking for an out.
No.
Right. But
he keeps repeating himself.
His only out is to get her to explode enough that she physically touches him, and now it doesn't matter what's happened before. That's his only out. And
right, because then he'll just pick the video up.
That's what he's playing
for. Look how she attacked me.
And also on the internet, when you control someone, there's not an old lady who's smarter than you destroying you.
Yeah, man. She's got your number.
He's wrong in every area.
He's wrong everywhere.
Because I would have to pay to park there or there, and I don't have to pay to park here.
Okay.
So buzz off.
Okay.
Yeah. Buzz off.
Buzz off.
What an idiot.
Nice.
I love buzz off. It's my favorite.
She's excellent.
Go ahead.
That's it?
That was all that I had? Did it stop?
Buzz off.
That was all that I had.
Yeah, I thought there was more.
No, I think that was it. Yeah.
Buzz off.
Right, that's what he's doing. Okay, if you want.
Let me stop this recording.
I got to move the car.
I'm not going to win this.
Yeah, even the kid told me.
I'm going to have to leave.
Move the car.
All right, we have a rock and roll photographer here. It's Chad Anderson, and he brought in candles.
Yes, he did.
And these are not like Roots Steve Buscemi candles.
No, these are cool.
This is he just handed me a van. A Van Halen candle. Hey, man, how you doing?
I'm good, guys. How are you this morning?
Thank you for coming in. I appreciate it.
Well, thanks for having me.
I tracked him down because he took pictures at the Van Halen show, the Chaz and AJ Presents Van Halen.
Wow.
At Xfinity. It was Van Halen's last concert.
Right.
Is this picture from that show?
That
on
it is.
This candle?
Oh.
And if you look, the thing that makes that image so iconic, they're smiling and holding hands together.
Right. That doesn't happen often.
No.
Never happens.
That was early.
I have to tell you, you're right. Because I've been looking for a picture to blow up and put on my wall.
Uh-huh.
And it's impossible. Our Drew was there taking pictures all night.
Yeah.
And there's not one of them together, both smiling.
Yep. So, you know.
Good for you.
As a rock and roll photographer, that's one of those things that you want. You want one of those iconic images.
Where they look happy.
Did you hold a teddy bear up? Look.
Yeah. Here's a little bag. Come on, bro.
Come on, smile.
Right. Come on, Eddie. Just hold them for 2 seconds.
Like a baby photographer.
Who's the big boy? Who's the big boy?
But, you know, every once in a while, you know, the thing that's nice about the digital age of photography is you can snap a bunch of photos, and eventually when you go through them, you can get that one that can actually hold, like, up in time.
Right.
So a friend of mine's like,
you look pretty young. Did you have the old camera with the film, and then now you got to change the film?
Yeah, change it out, like, round it up.
You're changing the film, and the most amazing thing.
Hold on, not yet. Don't dance.
Freeze!
Don't do the jump. Don't do the jump.
Don't do anything.
Which he actually can still do. Diamond Dave can still do that jump, though, which I thought was very interesting.
Can you land properly? I can jump also. That's how I land.
Pants looser now.
Yeah. That part is they're probably more tighter.
Were you photographing Van Halen back when they were doing before Eddie's hip surgery?
I don't think so.
They were flying through the air.
Yeah.
When I heard he was getting hip surgery, I'm like, well, I know why.
Yeah. A couple times of, you know, stages don't really give at all.
Yeah, need a trampoline.
Yeah.
But, I mean, for that show, for me, I mean, I'm in my late 30s. As a rock and roll photographer or photojournalist, as we call ourselves, it was just like, all right, these are the bands that they're not going to be touring much longer. I have, like, they're finally back on tour. I have to go see them.
I must capture them.
Right. And people are like, are you a Van Halen fan? I'm like, yeah, man. Like, these are rock icons. Like,
rock
once
icons.
They're done, you're never going to see these people again.
Yeah.
Unless they're doing, like, a Vegas residency, which Diamond was going to do. Then he's like, nah, I'm done. Screw this.
No, but to catch them together.
Yeah.
The original, well, besides Wolfie.
Yeah.
You know, wow. That's pretty cool. And Bob Dylan, why would his people take your camera?
All right, so I was at Webster Bank Arena, which is now the Total Mortgage Arena, here in Bridgeport. And it was Bob Dylan and Elvis Costello playing together for a night. So two huge iconic names.
Right.
I brought in a little point-and-shoot camera. You know, nowadays, everyone has a point-and-shoot camera in their pocket called their cell phone.
Yeah.
So here I am taking some photos. Next thing I know, arm comes around my back.
Is that what point-and-shoot means, phone?
Yeah, now it does, it seems like. It's like, point-and-shoot. Here, click, click.
Right.
Because I mean,
I can handle that.
Yeah. Well, nowadays, some of these phones are better than some of our professional cameras.
Which one do you like?
I'm actually about to update to the new Samsung 23S because it's got 200 megapixels.
Yeah.
Which my top digital camera is only like 40 megapixels.
Wow.
Really?
So it's like,
God, you can see someone's soul in that one.
Yeah,
the difference is you can't do a zoom with this. And
well, now people have made little camera, you know, little add-ons. So I know a friend of mine that mostly shoots with his camera now because they're better. And
with the phone, right.
With the way that this technology is and the way that our media is everything needs to be given 5 seconds ago.
Yeah.
So it's like, on my phone, click, click, oh, here you go.
Right.
It's already up. It's already posted before the show ends.
Nice.
But for the Bob Dylan thing.
Bob Dylan.
So Bob's people comes over like, you can't take photos. Bob doesn't allow photos. And I'm like, look around you guys. There's
a bunch of
people have their phones up taking photos of Bob Dylan.
What do you think they're doing? Lighting away for him? Yeah.
They bring me to the back. They make me show them the photos that I took. They're like, you cannot have any of these photos. We have to wipe your disc completely clean. And all my photos of Bob Dylan went away.
Oh.
So for me, it's like, but this is like an iconic moment, and especially in Bridgeport that, you know, we're trying to rejuvenate, you know.
Yeah.
Bob Dylan's in Bridgeport.
Moment in history.
Right. Yeah.
This is what we want. I mean, Richie Havens played downtown on McCleavy Green, which I have some videos of, and I got in trouble with that when I was like in my 20s. But it's like Bob Dylan. Like, this isn't going to happen again.
Yeah.
And now his people are just like, nope, don't care. And here's your camera back. Either we're going to wipe this clean or you can leave and we're still going to wipe it clean.
What's the issue that other people will be making money off of his image and they don't get a cut?
Yeah, most likely. Also, just Bob Dylan doesn't like to be photographed. I mean, he's an older person. I know some other rock and roll.
They want to be able to pick the angle and the shot.
The angle, the shot. They want to go through everything before it gets released.
Could you keep the Elvis Costello pics you took, or did everything?
No, everything
was gone.
Everything just got wiped that day. So I was, you know, as a photographer, just, you know.
Does that ruin kind of your vibe or love for the artist a little bit?
Yeah, that night, you know, I definitely wasn't buying that concert poster for like $50. Yeah. Like, hey, Bob Dylan in Bridgeport. No.
Yeah.
Right. Bob had a different name. F. Bob Dylan.
Yeah. It's just the
F. Bob it turned into.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's your one contact with the person, and it sucks. So you're like, okay.
So years go by, and now the Desert Trip big music festival is happening out in Indio, California, where it was Bob Dylan, the Rolling Stones, Paul McCartney, Neil Young.
I remember that. Yeah.
So,
Old Cella, they were calling
it. Yeah, Old Cella.
Yeah.
Me and a couple friends and my brother, we decide to go, and I'm like, I'll buy the VIP passes. It's $700 for all this. Nowadays, like $700 is, you know, like a Bruce Springsteen ticket at the Garden.
Right.
So I was, bring out my camera, and now I'm like, there's no reason why. Well, I'm out in a sea of thousands of people.
Right.
Bring out. Now I have all these Bob Dylan photos, which
he's reaching for right now.
Yeah.
There's actually
Chad Anderson, photojournalist in studio.
Hi, look at that.
So
he captured him.
So Bob Dylan walks into the studio.
Look at that. And you captured him well, too.
Oh, wow.
I like the black and white. It's a nice motif.
Him doing his little singing, like Sinatra.
Here he is at the piano.
Playing piano.
Smiling.
Yeah, smiling.
Can I tell you, I saw Bob Dylan at Toad's Place shortly after the Stones played. And it was a six-hour show. I didn't stay for 6 hours. I was probably there for three. But
that's
still. But in the 3 hours, he didn't smile once.
Well, his face would crack.
Not once.
Yeah, he's a crotchety.
He's very serious.
He's a crotchety old man. Yeah. But you know what? He's
Bob Dylan.
He's an icon.
He's Bob Dylan.
He can be whatever he wants to be because he's Bob Dylan.
And you could buy these photos off of him. Or you'll come out also and do, like, photo shoots or whatever?
Yeah, I do headshots. I do, you know, corporate events.
Nice.
Birthday parties?
Surveillance.
Yeah, actually. Bar mitzvahs, I got them all.
Like a Ringo birthday party?
There is a Ringo 70th birthday party, actually, at Radio City that I was able to photograph. But with Neil Young, it was him and Crazy Horse playing at the Webster Bank. And there turned to be a moment where he just got fed up, and you can actually find this video clip on YouTube.
Phil,
what
do you Google? Like,
yeah,
the Neil Young mad. That'll be all day.
Do Neil Young Webster Bank, and you'll see him typing into a phone, and him giving you the finger. And I thought he's saying it to me, and I'm like, oh yeah, I took a photo. I'm so sorry. I'm like, oh no, it's like not you behind you.
Oh.
And I'm just like, huh? And
He's pointing at me.
I'm freaking out with my buddy Dave.
Right.
And we think he's yelling at us. And we're like, what did we do? What? Like, oh, I'm so sorry, Neil Young.
Right.
And he's like, no, you guys.
Not you idiots.
This person.
It's like a bad pantomime game.
Yeah. Right. So, but this goes on.
Not F you to you. Yeah. You move over.
You're fine.
Everything's
over you.
He's having a seizure on stage.
It turns out. It turns out there is this woman behind me who's sitting and just texting the whole show. And he got fed up.
I'd be mad,
I get that.
Yeah, me too.
And all of a sudden, everyone's looking at her, and everyone's now starting to laugh and chuckle as
she's still on her phone.
And he's doing this whole
her,
and nothing.
She's typing, and now the music stopped for some reason. I have no idea why.
Yeah.
Someone's looking at me. Everyone's looking at me. Neil Young is giving someone the finger.
It's a great clip to watch, just like the face reaction of just like, no. Just yelling at this woman. And
who's
then,
recording this? You?
No, there's all these different recordings that you could actually find of this moment. And me and my buddy Dave were just like,
thank God was not.
And eventually someone like taps her and she starts like, meh, back to him.
No.
And it's just like,
wrong answer.
Yeah. It's like Dave, like Neil just goes off. And it's like, all right. And it's of course during effing up the song. So it's even funnier that all this is accumulating like during this like one song.
Well, the fact that he noticed that, like as a comic, it happens because everyone's quiet and you're doing it. So I've yelled at people or people take your phones off. But as a musician, you're almost like, it's crazy that he's able to even notice that someone's texting while he's playing.
Yeah. And it's like not even acknowledging it.
Right.
If one person is going off and that gets you going, man, that must be a long tour.
Yeah.
So what'd you find?
So I think I have the video, but to his point, you know, he's on the stage and he's going nuts during this song. So like he's really playing the guitar. He's laying down at one point. Like there's so much just noise and sound.
Wow.
And then
That's
the
cool.
band is just sort of going. No one's at the microphone singing. And he starts this whole pantomime thing. So the band just like keeps the beat going. While he's having like this meltdown, the song continues.
Is he still playing or no?
Kind of. So like everybody can tell he's mad about something. So the song is continuing, but he's pointing and going like, "Put the phone down!" Like you can almost see his mouth.
It's so funny, and it's like, "Oh, it's me!"
He's doing
it's not me. No, it's you. No, not you.
Not
he's
you.
Doing the texting thing on his hand.
Yeah.
Chad's friend Dave piddled a little bit.
Right.
Good old Dave Schneider from the Zambonis. We were at the show.
Wow.
Oh, the Zambonis.
Yeah.
Oh, that's
good
great.
Old Dave.
See?
And what's happening now? Same thing. Just
the band just keeps going. Yeah, so this is, it's still going. He's at the front of the stage. He is far away from the microphone, and wow, he's just trying to shout at this single person.
Wow.
And you can see he's not breaking eye contact.
No.
He's not even looking at the stage. He's not even looking off stage. He is locked on to this person personally offending him.
And you can imagine, like, thinking, right, like, Neil Young is just you, staring you down and, like, crushing your soul.
Right.
And it's like, I'm so sorry.
No, not you. That person. It's like,
see?
Huh? No, I know. Well, I know. My fault. No.
No.
Dude, I don't care about you. You're just a
now
dude.
Now he's getting even angrier. Yeah. Like, if it was get out of the way.
If it was Peter Frampton, he could have said, stop the texting. Stop the texting. He had the mouth.
Yeah. Wah, 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 wah.
Why are you texting here? Why are you texting here?
Wow.
With the video.
Yeah, you could see he was not going to tolerate this happening. Like, once he started, he was going to get her attention and make her stop.
Wow.
Right. Daryl Hannah, go out and get her. Don't kick her ass.
Yeah. Good old Splash. Yeah.
That seems insane.
Yeah. But it's
this is what people do. I'm surprised that people do this. I see all the phones up when there's this great moment. But then I watch the videos. I'm like, oh, I'm glad they recorded that. Because now
there is. But see, it's like those moments in time. Like, as a photographer, those are like those things that we're trying to capture. Or, you know, someone that's doing videography work, it's like, haha, that was that moment that now thousands of people over the internet can watch. And it's like, you know, there's a good thing about having a phone. But I agree with, like, Jack White, who makes everyone lock up their phones. Like, no, you're here for a concert. You're here to watch us perform.
Dial
it in.
Yeah.
Because if not, it's like, I hate seeing an arm that's up for like 20 minutes.
Right. Yeah.
It's like, are you even looking at what you're videotaping right now?
It's like sweat stains everywhere.
Yeah. Or it's like, you know damn well you're not going to ever do anything with that video.
Right. So, like, why are you doing it?
I am that person. When I'm at the show, I see the phones. And I'm like, why did you spend all this money to just be in your phone and recording?
Yeah, people watching their phone.
If you put that phone down, they're right in front of you.
Yeah. You paid for third row dead center.
Yes.
It's now $1,000.
However, the next day, if I didn't go to the show, Phil, can you put, let's see who was at, you know, Wolfie was at Toyota Presents Oakdale last night. Let's hear. He did Panama. Okay.
Yeah, find the video. Yep.
Right.
There's somebody.
And somebody recorded it. Yep. So I appreciate that.
And actually put it up online.
Yeah. And I put it, I appreciate that person in that moment. But when I'm at the show and I watch him doing it, I'm like, what are you doing?
So thank you, A-hole.
Yeah. I mean, sometimes, though, for me, as a photographer, I get even more angry. I'm like, just put your arm down so I can get that perfect wide shot.
Yeah.
Put your arm down.
That's like, hey, man, I'm traveling at a certain speed, and you're traveling too slow.
Yeah.
Just smack it out of their hand.
You're taking pictures in front of me.
Right.
Yeah. Get out of the way.
Just the fast lane slow poke all over again.
I've been at the table with people during a comedy show where they've been asked by security to put their phone down, and then they have to go out, and they delete everything that they've had. And, like, I didn't even do anything, and I feel embarrassed.
Yeah.
It's like, why? Why are you at my table?
Right.
Why?
But if they have like old school bootlegs, you know, like with Grateful Dead, and have the whole set list on it, that'd be great. It's right in between. It's like Neil yells at guy.
How did Willie Nelson save your life?
Well, there's a great band called These United States that were on tour with Willie for a couple of tour stops and was playing up in New Haven at the Schubert. Band contacted me about, like, hey, we're in your neighborhood. We want you to come photograph our opening set. We're with Willie. I'm like, wait, Willie?
Nice.
D. Willie?
Are you on the bus with Willie?
Right.
We all want to be on that bus.
That's funny. You can say Willie and you know who it is.
Yeah. Yep.
It's not like, is that Willie this?
Well, it's
or
like
Willie?
Dolly, Willie. You know, there's certain names that you only need. I mean, Sting is just still Sting.
Well, yeah.
But I was told early on, yes, we know you're with the opening band, but whatever you do, you're not allowed to take any photos of Willie backstage. Like the first two or first three songs, that's it. Nothing else. I'm like, okay, that's fine.
Is that a typical rule, first couple songs, and then put your camera away?
Yeah, so what had happened is, some people say it was Bob Dylan, back to Bob Dylan, started this rule. From what I was informed when I first started doing the music photography, was it was actually Springsteen, because people got tired of people being in that little pit in front of front row people. So Springsteen was the first person that's like, only first three. And since Springsteen did it, everyone else kind of like adapted it.
Bruce, did we all do it?
It is distracting, I think, because now you're not making eye contact with the fans. There's this whole movement, constant movement.
Yeah, there's like people going back and forth.
People turning their cameras.
And he's the boss, so.
He's the boss. Three songs, Bruce could be an hour, you know, three songs. So it's like.
I mean, Grateful Dead, you know. Really, it could be an hour.
This is the second song.
But what has happened is, you know, because of this, you know, sometimes as a photographer, we miss those cool moments, like if they bring out a special guest.
Uh-huh.
Or if they haven't played a song in like 10 years, that's like, oh, that's the highlight. Well, sorry, it wasn't the first three songs. But so the band, you know, Willie's finishing up his set. I'm hanging out in the wings with two of the, like the drummer and one of the guitar players. And here comes Willie. And the guys are like, oh my God, it's Willie.
Was there like smoke behind them?
Yeah.
There was just this cloud. Yeah, it's like when they give the Mexican food, it's all still sizzling.
So Willie sees the two guys, and, you know, they've now have known each other for a couple of days, and he sees me with my cameras on, and he's like, oh, hey, photographer, come get a photo of us.
Nice. That's great.
And I'm like, all right, Willie asks for a photo.
Right. No one's going to tell you no.
Right. No.
He was that lit, huh?
Next thing I know, I take the photo. The two band members are on, like, cloud nine now. They're like, we got a photo with Willie.
Oh, my God.
Like, 10 seconds later, I am like 2 feet off the ground, held up by my neck from one of his security guards.
This is I was going to say, is that Mr. Bernier from my seventh grade?
Willie said I could.
Willie travels with some, you know, big security people.
Right, of course.
I'm now just like staring at this big burly dude. I mean, look, I'm not a small guy by any means. Right. And this guy's got me off the ground. And Willie's like, oh, no, don't, put him down. No, like, hey, he's going. And he's like, just look, are you sure? He's like, no. Puts me down. So Willie goes,
Unga, no understand.
So sorry about that. I asked him to take a photo of us. Oh, okay. Well, you know you're not supposed to take photos. I'm like,
no, I'm sorry.
Willie asked.
Right, they can't.
And I'm just like sitting like. Oh my, like I'm shaking. Like when I tell the story, I get like a little shaky.
No, but this is how a photographer says, "I was just doing my job. I'm sorry." He's like, "Well, you know, I was doing my job."
Right. Yeah,
right. By saying, "You know, you're not supposed to take pictures."
Right.
But your boss Willie just said,
"This guy
to
right
take
here,
this picture. I want the picture with these two guys.
This the guy with the paycheck.
Like, he's high.
It would have been. It would have been way funnier if he just held you up there. It's like, so what are you doing?" Speak up.
Right.
Well, it kind of was like that, actually. And like the two band members are looking at me with like bug eyes, just God, oh, we're so sorry, Chad. We're so sorry. We're so sorry. And it's like, no, put him down. They're like, he's good.
Right. Thank God, Willie.
Willie like that's hits funny, me, man. Like touches my arm, and he's like, dude, I'm so sorry about that. Like, you know,
here, have a joint.
Yeah, Willie. I wish. But all of a sudden, Willie goes out back to the bus. And, you know, the management's like, what is this that we just heard? Like, we told you. And I'm like, again,
Willie
said to. And, Willie like, here comes the security guard. It's like, Willie said it was okay.
It's okay.
And I'm just like, you know what? Maybe I should just leave the backstage area.
Yeah.
And the two band members were just like, dude, I'm so sorry. I'm like, no, but now I have this funny story about me and Willie Nelson.
To keep the picture.
Well, I have the picture of them, but it was funny because I actually had, from photographing him another time, thinking like, oh, maybe I'll get to meet Willie too, a photo that I wanted to have Willie sign. And he saw the little photo, and he goes, oh, do you want me to sign that for you? I'm like, I don't know, Willie. Am I going to be like, lifted up again?
Where's
he goes,
no, hands.
Not here.
Yeah.
Grabs a pen.
The picture would have been, the great picture
would
have been
me being lifting Willie, like saving me.
Right. Yeah. I met Willie.
You taking a picture while in the air.
Yeah, just like looking down at Willie. Right. Yeah.
Right. We're going to link up to all of Chad's stuff on the radio station website, and you could buy these cool pictures from him or get him to photograph your wedding or whatever.
You can get some of these fandals too, as well. You know,
no neck grabbing though. Yeah.
The fandals, I love that.
Yeah. The interactive candles. Everybody,
what a cool gift! Valentine's.
Yep.
Day.
Yeah.
If you need a gift for a music-minded person this upcoming Valentine's Day, or you know, pajamagrams and all that good stuff,
ooh, smells like docking.
Thank you, brother. Appreciate it.
Yeah. Thank you guys for having me.
It was in 1988. It's the 1988 Guns N' Roses concert at the Ritz.
Whoa.
And Matt B. Wake now is on. He's a writer for Metal Edge, Spin, Guitar World, Revolver, LA Weekly, Rolling Stone, Billboard, Paste, you name it.
Wow.
But he did this really cool article on why this show is so important. Matt, why don't you run us through it?
Hey, Chaz, AJ, thanks for having me on. My compliments on the fog hat tee. I saw it on the website pic. One of you guys sporting that. So a nice fog hat tee. I got to throw that in.
That's AJ.
One of my favorite t-shirts, man. Thank you.
Awesome. So Ritz 88, the thing about that, man, so Guns N' Roses, not only did they have the talent in these great songs, but the big difference from them in that era was they were so raw and dangerous. And while Appetite was intense, Appetite for Destruction, the debut album, that was starting to get a little momentum then. It didn't really go crazy until a year after the release. The Ritz Show is the first time a lot of these people in middle America who maybe didn't catch them on the Motley Crue tour they opened, et cetera, got to see them. Real deal, Motley Crue, Guns N' Roses in their face. To go with the talent, to go with those great songs, just like living it, man.
It is really them at the best of them before it got too weird.
Yeah.
When they got popular, it got weird.
Yeah.
But Axl's voice is spot on. And even though Axl in the concert says the world's going to hear us as the most sloppy band. They were tight.
Yeah.
They sounded great.
The exact opposite.
So there was drama before this started, and it almost turned out where MTV didn't record it, right?
Yeah, so there was a delay. Well, first off, Great White, who was managed by the same guy as Guns N' Roses at the time, Alan Nevin, a very talented manager. Anyway, they were supposed to be the headliner, but on the way there, apparently Alan told Great White that Guns N' Roses was going to be headlining because MTV wanted it. Apparently, MTV saw superstar potential in Guns, even though they weren't really breaking big totally yet. So there was that drama going on. And then the funny thing, we remember, like you said, Axl's blistering vocals, but also we remember that kind of light blue headband he had on. And he couldn't find a headband, apparently, according to Steven Adler's book, for like an hour. So it delayed the show. He wouldn't go on without his headband.
For an hour. I can't find a headband.
Where's my accessories?
Yeah.
Check the floor.
Accessories are everything, guys. Come on.
That's true. Match your shoes.
But anyway, Axl delivered the goods. Adler, claims in his book that, he talked to MTV guys in staying. Whatever the case, sure glad they did.
Can you imagine? Right?
Yeah.
An hour. MTV guys are like, we're out of here.
Right. Headband. Good things to do.
And Adler was telling him, no, please stay.
Right.
And Adler in his book said, this is kind of the reason, I think, why there's so many shots of me playing the drums. It's like way more shots of a drummer than like in any other.
Than there should be.
Yeah, right. There's a lot. Because it's like, this is the dude who respected our time.
Right.
Yeah.
Got a reward. Got a yummy.
But you wrote something really cool, Matt, about how this is so fascinating because you don't know if Slash is just going to fall over from a drug overdose. Or, you didn't know what was going to, like, when this concert's happening and you're watching the video, you're like, holy crap.
Right.
Like, these guys are, they're all out there.
Yes, they are. And on there.
Yeah, man, and I compare it to now. It's an enjoyable show, but bands later in their career, they're kind of doing a recital, and when you see them early in their career, where they're kind of living the same lifestyle that inspired the songs, they're much more inside of it. You're much more inside of it. Like you said, Axl's voice back then sounded so good. And I think it's amazing any of these hard rock singers that can still bring it, because I always use the comparison, guys. There's not a lot of slam dunk contest for 60-year-old 60-year-old NBA legends. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And those hard rock singers, it's not easy to sing. But when you see them in their prime, it's pretty impressive.
Wow.
This radio station had that concert on the air live happened. And
awesome.
The program director immediately grabbed Knocking on Heaven's Door, and we just started playing it because it's the best version that anyone's ever done of the song. And during the song, this woman starts climbing out of the audience and starts grabbing Slash's guitar.
Oops.
And hits his hand, and he misses a little part of the song.
Oops.
And then it's towards the end, and now security grabs her, and they start dragging her out, and she's fighting. And Axel acknowledges that. Matt, what got you to dial in on that and write a piece about it?
I was one of those kids that set the VCR, put the VHS tape in there, and recorded it. I think my sister and I had a parent party at my parents' apartment that night. We were teenagers, you know, so everybody's partying, watching it. And also, like, I mean, what a wild animal. I mean, rock and roll. I kind of make this piece, this point in the Metal Edge piece, too, is, you know, there's some good current younger rock and roll bands, but every one of them is missing that wild animal, that dangerous aspect. Now, danger isn't so great for human beings, but it makes rock and roll cool. So it's kind of that dichotomy. But I just always thought it was a stunning thing. And like you guys grabbing it, knocking on heaven's door for your radio show, which is awesome. Like, I mean, I didn't know the Bob Dylan song before then. And even after I heard it, it's better than any other version, including yes. the one Guns did on Use Your Illusion.
Yes, absolutely.
That's awesome.
It's interesting, the hole that they filled. They were the bridge between hair metal, which was pop.
Yeah.
Too much hairspray.
Yeah.
Glamorous.
Looking back, yeah.
Outfits, right. Like fake leather pants.
Flammable, very flammable.
And they come out, and they were the bridge between that and grunge.
Yeah.
But when they came out, it was like, ooh, bad boys again. Like real bad boys, not fake bad boys like Poison.
Yeah.
Yeah, like this is really.
Neil uses and everything.
This is raw. It's exciting. Yeah. It's dangerous. They don't give an S.
No, they do not.
Ugh, what a great time that was.
In your face, yep.
Yeah.
I think that's a great point. I think a lot of people, you know, not enough people get that they cracked open the door for Nirvana to go in, and maybe Jane's Addiction went and cracked it open a little more. But I think, you know, Guns N' Roses, that early stuff, and you know, not just the, like the hedonism, like you hear Axel singing there, whatever pain caused some of those lyrics that he wrote, he's very close to that pain still, and you can hear it.
Yeah. Right. This is before they're living in the mansions.
Right, before they get plush.
Yeah, they're still tour bus life.
Yep.
This crappy is, hotels.
Yep. When right. they had a product that was worth waiting an hour past showtime for.
Yeah.
You know, they had built that reputation even before they became megastars, and there was a time people would wait 3 hours. They didn't care because they knew when they came out, It was all going to be worth it.
It was going to be on.
But you can tell they cared about sharing the product. It wasn't them cosplaying themselves later and just playing the hits.
Yeah.
They wanted that message out there. They were having as much fun as the people in the concert were.
Well, who the hell follows up an album like Appetite with an acoustic album? That blew my mind.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I always thought that was an underrated cool move, too, actually. I mean, it's just a total flip, you know? Like, I thought that was a gutsy move. And, you know, to Axel's credit, you know, since he's gotten back with Slash and Duff in 16, I don't think they've been a late for a single show. And, you know, you lose some things with time in rock and roll sometimes, but sometimes you gain some things. So it's interesting.
It is the history, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I saw them twice. They played a show in New Haven Coliseum where the first set, they had a couch and chairs, and they sat out there and they did acoustic.
Yeah.
And then the second set was full blast, rip your face off.
We're going to bring the ceiling down.
That's the best of both worlds right there.
Yeah, but it was just Guns N' Roses. Then I saw them at Madison Square Garden where they had an orchestra. They had backup singers. Yeah. November Rain. Yeah. I never liked November Rain until I saw them do that with a full-blown. It was a production. I'm like, these guys are friggin'
brilliant.
Like
the live 20-minute version of it.
It changed me. I had the feels.
Yeah.
That acoustic move to that second album felt like, hey, we don't want to be associated with these hair bands. If they're going to be overproduced, if they're going to be over, you know, preened even for photos, like, we're going to be the opposite. We're going to take everything out of electricity, and we're just going to be this great band.
Yeah. And that Appetite for Destruction album didn't get airplay on a lot of rock stations because there was some artwork in there that was offensive to a lot of people.
Yep.
And so records record companies had a problem getting it added to radio stations. So we added it, but we didn't report it, which means they don't get the credit for it. And we were the first ones in the state to start playing that. And Welcome to the Jungle was a mind-blowing breakthrough.
Amazing song.
That song was just everything rock should be. It's overplayed now. We've heard it and whatever. But the first time you heard that on radio.
What the hell is this?
I'm still happy to hear it every time, man.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, it's one of those
still
songs.
Great. It's still great. So, Matt, really cool job on this article, man.
Yeah.
Oh, thanks a lot. And, hey, something else I'll throw in there. You mentioned Lies. So that's 88. MTV started doing Unplugged in 89. Right. So I know a lot of people point to John Bon Jovi and Richie Sambora doing an Unplugged performance at one of the MTV Awards is kind of sparking that. But I don't know. Maybe that planted a seed, too. And so cool you guys were part of Breaking Guns back in the day, man. Thank you for that, from all the fans, you know, who've had God, how many good times have we had listening to GNR? Appreciate you being a part of that.
Well, all the air personalities, we bent the overhead light over the control board, hitting it with our pen, playing the cowbell.
That's awesome.
And Welcome to the Jungle. So, really cool. Great article, man.
I really appreciate it. And I appreciate you guys having me on. And coming up for Metal Edge, I have a couple of pretty cool pieces. One's with Billy Sheehan from Mr. Big, David Lee Roth, Eat 'Em and Smile Band, and now with this cool kind of super group, Winery Dogs.
Did you ask him about potentially replacing Michael Anthony in Van Halen? Because Eddie got pissed at him and was going to fire him, and they auditioned Billy.
I didn't, because he's told that story, but he spoke fine. We did talk about the tour.
Okay.
That Talis did.
It's funny because sometimes once they talk about it, it's like, all right, that was 40 years ago.
Yeah.
Let it go.
Yep.
And another one that really blew me away is I talked with Jack Russell, the singer from Great White, and all the things that guy's been through. Some he's put himself through, some, you know, like, I don't know. It was interesting, and he was soulful, and he can still sing. You know, he's one of those few guys from that era who can still sing high.
Great voice.
Hard.
Wow. Great voice.
Yeah, so he was really cool to talk with, and some other cool things coming down the line too, and lots of. And I also do the staff job stuff with AL.com here in Alabama, which is, you know, a lot of Muscle Shoals stuff, but also interviewing people coming through here like Steve Vai, Joe Satriani.
Muscle Shoals, a very famous studio where a lot of songs that you heard
have their mug.
I mean, it's referenced in Sweet Home Alabama, by the way.
Yeah, that's all you need to know, brother.
Yeah. So, Matt, thank you for keeping rock in the forefront with your articles.
Yes, thank you.
And by the way, this concert that Matt writes about, the 1988 Guns N' Roses Rich Show, it's on YouTube for free, the whole show.
Awesome.
If you want to check it out. It's really great
stuff.
That's
cool.
Matt, thank you, man. Appreciate it.
This was the Jazz and AJ podcast. Thanks for getting through the whole damn thing. Subscribe now and please rate and review us. Unless you have terrible things to say, then please don't. Also, share this podcast with friends. Jazz and AJ in the Morning happens weekdays from 5:30 a.m. to 10 a.m. out of New Haven, Connecticut on the mighty 99.1 PLR.